2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll teach a little holiness this morning. I haven't done that in a while. Why am I in holiness? Why do I believe in holiness? First reason is, it's Bible, folks, and you can't get away from it. I remember I've told this before, but it bears repeating. Somebody said when I was considering coming to the Highway of Holiness, one of the remarks somebody made, well, those people are out of balance. All they ever preach and teach is holiness. And I thought, well, I don't want to be out of balance in my doctrine, so I'll test this out. So I said, I'm going to open the Bible at random 10 times and see how many of those times it's talking about holiness or righteousness or godliness. And as best I recall, it was 9 out of 10. And even on that 10th one, I believe it was genealogy. And if you start looking up those words in the Hebrew, what they mean, you're right back to holiness and righteousness. 10 out of 10. You can't escape it. I don't care what book in the Bible. It's holiness from cover to cover. Genesis to Revelation. All the way back in Genesis. The only preacher that got saved out of the flood was a preacher of righteousness. That's how it describes Noah. He wasn't a liberal, worldly, brainwashed by the world preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he was obedient, therefore, to God. I mean, what makes people think if they got trouble dressing modestly according to Scripture and giving up their gold and pearls and costly array as Scripture says, what makes you think they're going to forsake all and follow Him when they have trouble with the least little sacrifices that God's Word asked them to make? So I'm holy. I believe in holiness. And I chose a holiness church because it's Bible from cover to cover. Jesus taught it. Apostle Paul taught it. Peter, James, every one of them were holiness preachers. And if you can read the Bible through and you're not convinced of holiness, you got a problem. You've got a serious mental block there somewhere. You can't see straight, and you can't hear right. As I said, Jesus taught it. He said, except ye be converted and become as little children. What's it mean to be converted? He's saying you got to change your life. Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist preached. Jesus, the apostles, they all preach repentance. Repentance is saying you got to turn away from sin and away from the world and walk in a completely opposite direction. When you preach repentance, you're preaching holiness, folks, righteousness. So it's in the Bible from cover to cover. You can't get away from it. Just open it and start reading. Now, don't let any smart aleck theologian explain the Scripture to you. Just read it for yourself. It's written in plain English. You don't have to interpret it. That's another piddly little excuse. Well, it depends on how you interpret that Scripture. And I say, no, it doesn't need any interpretation. It's not written in Hebrew. We've got it translated in English. It's just a willingness to believe it as it is and obey it. Well, first of all, because the Word says it. Well, it's also, you know, wise man said we learn by, one of the ways by experience, by reason and experience and by authority. Well, I just mentioned the authority of God's Word and the revelation of God and His Word. That's first reason. But holiness is reasonable, folks. It is a reasonable doctrine that we have to be in obedience. We have to be in obedience to God as our Father. It's completely consistent, and good parents teach their children to be obedient. And it's that is used in Scripture. It said that God chastises us. He said we had earthly fathers, and they did it for their pleasure and according to their will. But if we receive chastisement of God, we're sons. That means he's dealing with us as with sons. And he said he's chastising us that we might be partakers of his holiness. So it's reasonable. And also my experience has taught me that holiness is right. Experience with those who were not in holiness. I am embarrassed to admit this, but I dated a girl or two that was not holiness. Now, they said they were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But the trouble was, they couldn't tell the truth. And when you confronted them about their lies, they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't say they hadn't lied. They just said, you leave me alone or we'll just break off the relationship. And so I said, yeah, that's the best thing we could do. Now, folks, if you've ever dealt with those who don't believe in holiness, there's a whole lot of other things they don't believe in either, like telling the truth, like keeping your promises and your commitments and meaning what you say. Because I want to tell you something. If God's word doesn't mean anything to you, it's just completely reasonable that your own word soon won't mean anything to you either. So my experience in dealing with liberal Christians, as they're called, and that's a contradiction in terms there really, because you can't be loose and liberal and be Christ-like, has led me to believe that holiness is right. And let me tell you something else. These churches, some of them can go off the deep end on faith or chair or love. But really, if you don't believe and practice holiness, you're lacking faith. You're lacking faith in the Word of God. And really what they're doing is taking the Word of men over the Word of God, what men say about the Bible and how they interpret Scripture. They're just having more faith in men than what they have in God and His Word. See, I not only believe that this is God's Word, I believe He has preserved it for me individually and for each one of you. He's preserved it. And I believe He's done it so that we can understand it, so that even a little child does not have to err when he's following the Scripture faithfully. Now, they can say their faith, church, and their faith all they want to. I'm going to tell you another aspect of it. A lot of them don't even have enough faith to believe that God can save us from our sins. Not save us in our sins, but save us from our sin. And that's a lack of faith. If you don't believe God is powerful enough to sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body, you are weak in faith, because He is most certainly powerful enough. And you really, they can even talk about the blood all they want to. But if you don't believe the blood can cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and the grace of God can teach us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, you're weak in faith. And I pointed that out to some, and that was very painful to them, to some Baptists, because they teach so strong that it's all faith and grace. But I said, well, you don't really have the faith and grace, biblical faith and biblical grace. Let me tell you, saving faith is life-changing faith. And the Scripture teaches that faith without works is dead, even as a body without spirit. Is dead. So they don't really have strong faith, and they don't really have hope. Because every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Oh, I work with a fellow, and I've known a few others that were absolutely obsessed with the coming of the Lord. The Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. And every time I say something about some future event that's a year or two or several years down the road, oh, well, I don't believe time's going to go on. You know, the Lord's going to come before. They just out-spiritualize me every time. But you know what? They're not purifying themselves even as he is. So they don't have biblical hope either. Because every man that really has the hope that Jesus is going to come, you know how he manifests that? He's living pure and a holy life. Because he knows that we're going to stand before the judge, you know, when the judgment day's coming. And they know that when Jesus comes, it's going to be wonderful for those who are holy, but it's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to the rest of the world. The absolute worst. The day of the Lord is going to be a wonderful day for the righteous, but it's going to be the worst day the wicked ever saw. So they don't really have hope. And let me tell you something else. They can preach love until they go to seed on it. But they don't really have God's love if they're not obedient to his commandments. And Jesus said that over and over again. If you love me, you'll keep my word. And he even said, it's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said it. And John, the beloved disciple, he was the apostle of love, if you will. But read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the Gospel of John. And over again, he says, if you love him, everyone that loves him keeps his saying. They keep his word. And over, he repeated that himself so many times because I'm sure the Spirit of God knew that false doctrine was going to come and they were going to say, oh, we're the ones that really love the Lord. But they're compromising on his word and they don't really have biblical love at all. I want to tell you, there's a lot of learned men. I've heard them on the radio. Brilliant men. They can reason so well and can so eloquent, can use words so eloquently. Doctors of divinity. But when it comes to this thing of holiness, their mind just completely turns to mush. And they're totally irrational. And they start saying, you legalists, believe thus and so. And here they are teaching commandments out of the Scripture for hours on end. And then they get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where it talks about the hair. And they say, well, those are legalists that believe that. They just shot themselves in the foot. Because they're claiming to teach from the authority of God's Word. And then they're turning right around and destroying the authority of God's Word. And they can go on and on, you know, into the epistles. Well, we believe in living in the epistles and on and on, teaching all day long out of them. And then they get to those verses that say, well, you know, you need to not wear the gold, the pearls, the costly array. And then they say, well, you're legalists. You believe that stuff. These people, they're legalists. Well, wisdom is justified of all her children. I want to tell you something else. By their fruits ye shall know them. A lot of times you can't look at a man or woman and what they are and what they're teaching, and sometimes you have a hard time discerning. But if you want to know what their real values are, you know what you can do? Look at their children. And I don't care if you're talking about their natural children or their spiritual children. Either one. Take a good hard look at those that they've raised. And what do they believe? And what do they stand for? Because I want to tell you, children, you know, oftentimes parents say I'm one thing and I'm another. But if they're really in love with money or if they're really in love with the world, children pick up what their real values are. And they run with it. Now, there can be exceptions. As I've said, anybody can have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, but even the prodigal son, he finally got turned around and came home. So it is, there's another reason I believe in holiness. Because it says holiness is a fruit, you know. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end is everlasting life. Now, everybody wants eternal life, but not very many are willing to live holy, and those are the only ones that's going to get to live forever. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Let's look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll start at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And the answer is none, not one little bit. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, a whole lot of those liberals, when they pray, they say, Our Father. And they want to call God Father. Everybody who says they're a Christian, they want to say, God is my Father. But God puts some qualifications on His children. He said, you've got to come out from among them and be ye separate. You've got to stop having this agreement with idols and all these things that I just read to you. And touch not the unclean thing. Then he said, I'll receive you and I'll be a father unto you. But he's not going to be a father unto those that won't do all of the above. He's just a father unto these who separate themselves. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I looked up that word holy. I think the first time it's found in Scripture is when God told Moses, take your shoes off your feet, for you're standing on holy ground. And it means sacred. It also means dedicated and consecrated. When something's holy unto God, it's set aside for His special use, a special purpose that He has for it. But I thought about that. That's what's missing with the worldly church. They're not really dedicated to God. They've never really consecrated themselves to God. You want me to give you a verse on what does consecration mean? Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's also a formula for finding the will of God for your life. In brief, it's right there in front of you. Well, let me tell you, if you're willing to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, these little arguments that when I was in the Church of God, we used to argue for years and years and years over holiness standards. Well, those people, they'd never put themselves on the altar. They'd never put their body and said, I'm a living sacrifice. You see, if you've done that, if you're dead on the altar, the world can mock you. And it won't have any effect on you. They can mock you because, you know, your women dress modestly and they have long hair and long dress. That won't have any effect on you. If you're dead on the altar, if you've presented your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, a lot of people say they want to find the will of God, but it's not difficult. It's not impossible for you to find the will of God. You just got to dedicate yourself and consecrate yourself to God. Give yourself holy to the Lord. And it won't be these little things that cause people so much trouble in obeying the Word of God. That won't be any problem if they're really sold out. If they really want to please God above all. And as I said, it's a problem in their love life, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now those are two different commandments there. Loving the world is as they say, it's the cosmos, it's the world system that is under the control of the god of this world, which is Satan. That's a love of the world. But he even goes farther than that. He said, don't even love the things that are in the world. Because some things can't mix and can't be mixed. And they won't be mixed. Because if you have that love of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You can't mix the two. A lot of people think they can. Well, I can love God and I can love the world too. I can love God. I can be materialistic, as this generation is so materialistic. You can't do it. It's either one or the other. You can't, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we're supposed to have a holy speech. When we talk, it's supposed to be holiness to the Lord. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's hatred. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we're to be in a perfecting holiness. We're to be growing in this thing of holiness. And for that reason, we need mercy. We need the mercy of God, and we need the mercy of other people. But we're expected to be making progress, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's the only way that you will perfect holiness, is if you really fear God. The psalmist said, stand in awe and sin not. That's why so many have a sin problem. They don't really fear God like they should. You know, when children give in to fear, to peer pressure, well, it's fear pressure. They're fearful that they won't be accepted by their peers. And so they yield to that because they fear them more than they do God. Or a lot of times more than they do God or mom and dad and a teacher and the policeman and everybody else that they should be fearing more. Because you see, fear controls us either for good or for evil. Grieve not. Well, I'll tell you how this word holy is used most of the time in Scripture, the Holy Spirit. You look up holy, it's usually Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Well, that same word, hagios in the Greek, is used to describe the Christians. That's also translated saints. He wrote to the saint, to the hagios. And the Holy Spirit is hagios pneumatos. We're being called by the name of God, one of the names of God, when we're called a saint. That's why I never say, and I never agree with those who say, well, the world's just lost sinners and we're saved sinners. Well, where do you find that at in the Bible? Apostles didn't write to the saved sinners. They wrote to the saints, to them which are sanctified. And when they said to the saints, they're saying to the holy ones. That's who we're writing to. And that's what God requires of us. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. If a church doesn't teach sound doctrine, don't support it, don't go to it, stay away from it and tell everybody else to stay away from it. That the aged men be sober, sound-minded, serious, grave, he said, serious-minded, temperate. They need some self-control. Sound in faith and charity and patience. That aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And he tells you what behavior becomes holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. There's a big shortage of that in America today, and abortion has loosed these foul, selfish demons on our women to where they're dumping babies in trash cans and dumpster boxes and killing their own babies or abandoning them. We're reading about it all the time. Or one woman put hers in a car and let the car go in a lake. We need older Christian women who teach women, hey, life isn't all about selfishness, about your career and your plans and your dreams and your education. It's about you loving God and loving others, specifically your husband and your children. And yes, making sacrifices for them. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Amen. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Feminism will cause the word of God to be blasphemed. And it is causing that to happen all across America. But really, this is a time of great opportunity for godly women to demonstrate the love of Christ. Because if you do that in this day and age, you will be so different from modern American women and what they hold up as ideal. There will be such a contrast that it will make people curious. And they'll ask you a reason of the hope that lies in you. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself. This is holiness. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We can do it right here, right now. We're commanded to do it right here and right now. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He's still got a few of them. The world and the worldly church hasn't got them all. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Furthermore, I quoted some of this. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us for after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You got to do both things at the same time, and with the help and grace of God, you can follow peace and holiness simultaneously with all men. And that's what God commands us and expects out of us. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let me tell you something. The reason the world and the devil's pushing fornication so hard, one of the reasons, is they know that it will wreck your life and keep you out of the will of God and keep you from finding the will of God. If he can get young people like Esau committing fornication, then they will marry out of the will of God. And that's what the devil wants, because God made marriage because he desired a godly seed. And the devil's always trying to interfere with that. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. There it is. The will of God, sanctification, abstaining from fornication. For ye know how that afterward, talking about Esau, when he would have inherited the blessing. And you know that's the case with so many young people today. After they get through with their fornicating and their sin, they want God's best blessing. They want it so bad. They want it as much as anybody. But it's too late. Looky here. When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Here's that hatred, that rejection. He would have inherited the blessing, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And sad to say, there are many in that category today. You know, we need, instead of so much going overboard on love and mercy and grace of God, maybe we need to teach our young people to meditate on those verses I just read, to keep them away from sin in the first place. Because I'm not saying Esau didn't go to heaven or he couldn't go to heaven, but he lost a lot of earth's blessings that he never could get back. And that's a message that everyone needs to hear in this day. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God for holiness. Without exception. Amen. I need more of it. Brother Vince Wilson said you could take a teaspoon of holiness and a lightning bug on the end of a corn stalk and chase the devil clear out of town. Hallelujah. Woo! We need it, don't we? Hallelujah. Good to be humble. It's good to be always reaching out. It's good to be always reaching forth and claiming that holiness. Now, what if your church don't preach it? Is anybody going to reach for it? What if you don't put it on the shelf and make it available? Is anybody going to buy it? What if you downplay it? Say, well, it's over there on the shelf, but we got it way on the back. Back over there where Dennis is sitting. Amen. You got to move it out front. Amen. People are going to buy it. Praise God. You know what we need to do? We need to get us a rack and put holiness way out front. Amen. Put a special on for holiness. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yes, we need to pedal. Instead of soft pedaling holiness, we need to pedal holiness. We need to sell righteousness. Glory to God. Bible said, buy the truth. And what? Sell it not. Amen. Truth is falling in the streets. What are you going to do with it? Somebody needs to pick it up, don't they? I just can't pass by a penny in the street. Amen. I was working on my house out in Kansas City. Renter's still in it. And I was working down in the basement. And happened to be down in the basement. There was change all over. I mean quarters and dimes and nickel change all over the floor where they'd throw the clothes down the chute. And I told the owner, I said, hey, there's change all over the floor down there. And he said, yeah. I said, kids don't even pick it up anymore. Boy, I do. Amen. I didn't pick his up, but if I find any out there, I'll pick it up. Amen. We need to pick up holiness off of the floor. Come on. Spread the word. What do you say? Hallelujah. Let's grab the truth and run with it. What do you say? Put it in the front window. Praise God. Put it on display. Hey, somebody's going to want it. Somebody's going to come along and say, man, I didn't think you could buy that anymore. That's just what I've been looking for a long time. I got over in China and I found things in those department stores that we quit selling in the United States. Coal oil lamps. Tubs and rub boards. I mean, in China, their department stores are still full of just regular old tea kettles. I don't care how fancy the hotel was, they served tea out of a regular old tea kettle. They poured the hot water in a fancy hotel out of a regular old tea kettle. You can buy them in China. Amen. And some things, it's not out of style. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, holiness is going to come back in style after a while. Amen. The bells on the horses' bridles is even going to be holiness unto the Lord. Every pot and pan is going to be holiness unto the Lord. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Everything going to be holiness after a while. A holy city, a holy tree of life, a holy river, a holy God. Amen. What a day it's going to be when holiness comes back in style. Hey, it's been the style of God's people for a long time. 1950, a woman got prayed for. Oral Roberts was holiness then. Amen. And she got prayed for and testified to God healing her. And he said, are you going to start going to church? And she said, yes. And he said, what kind of a church? And she said, as she walked off the platform, a holiness church. And Oral Roberts exulted in it then. And he said, holiness is getting popular. Ain't it a shame that he lost that? Because it's going to come back in style after a while. Holy city, holy God, bells on the horses, pots and pans, everything, holiness unto the Lord. Praise God. Give a good offering to Brother Corn. Amen.